verses. There ain't just chapters, but it's words that are so important even to the doctrine of Christ and the doctrines of this book, because of the even the tense, whether it be present tense, past tense, of the verbs and the things that's in these sentences, changes the meaning all the way around. And we look here in verse 6, it says, and hath. All right, and hath, the conjunction and. We just keep getting more and more. When you see them ands, it's adding to everything he's doing for you. He's all the time adding stuff. He's all the time giving you more and more and more and more and more and more. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's past tense. As far as God is concerned, I want you to look at me tonight. And this is the truth of God. Now this it matters not. Well, I don't really believe that. Well, that's you're just wrong. I'm not being a smart aleck, because this is what God says. All right. We hath already, as far as God is concerned, he hath already raised you up from the dead when he saved you and set you at his throne with Christ in an exalted position as an heir and a joint heir, as the body of Christ, Christ being the head. And when you got saved, the very moment you got saved, that's where he placed you as far as he's concerned. Amen. Now, us getting there is still already guaranteed. It's already guaranteed. Already guaranteed. We're just not there yet, but we have been justified, we have been sanctified, and we're soon to be glorified in our exalted position, because it's in Christ. We are exalted in the position in Christ. Does everybody understand that? That's how come we are eternally secure in Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ. For Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and said, for we are hid with Christ in God. Everybody understand that? That's why these verses come together. Now, let's look. Now, it shows our exalted position. Now, what we tried to show you, that when God looks at us being saved, now, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. In no way am I trying to belittle our wrongs and our sins. Because all of our sins and wrongs and trespasses, all these things are against the Holy God, and it breaks our fellowship. Yes. But it does not touch our sonship.
Right. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So when God looks at me, when the Father looks at me, he only looks at me through his Son.
Right. Yeah.
Now, my fellowship is with Christ. 1 John will tell us that plainly in chapter 1, in 1 John. Mm-hmm. We walk in the light and our fellowship is with him and with the Father, because we have fellowship with the Son. Right. Is everybody with me? Talk to me if you understand what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so when God looks at me, he sees me through his Son. He don't see the sinner I was. God does not see me no longer. He don't look at me as the sinner I was. Therefore, I'm not that sinner no more. He sees me as the son I am.
Amen.
Not as the sinner I was, but as the son that I am. And he sees me as he sees Christ. In all the magnificence of Christ, he sees me and you as we're saved. For we're pure and holy because of Christ. Not because of us, but because of Christ. We're pure as the driven snow because of Christ. And when God sees me, He sees me in my exalted position as glorified, holy, and perfect at the throne in the body of Christ, as Christ is the head, and there I am at the throne of God. That's how saved I am tonight.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Now, I know you, I want you to understand what I'm telling you. Now, I don't understand how he does it, but I understand it's what he said. And if he said it, I got enough sense to believe it. Are we still okay? Now, it shows our exalted position. Christ says, flip over to chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed, hath, who hath, hath, past, as we all, we got it all, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where at?
In Christ.
In Christ. That's the key. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Does everybody understand that? Now, Romans 8:17 will tell you that we're an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Huh? I believe. Okay, ain't that what it'll tell you? Let's look here. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together at that exalted position. At that exalted place that we're with Christ. Is everybody following me tonight? That's how saved you are. Huh? We dwelt on it several weeks on how lost we was. Now we're going to glory and enjoy and relish in the fact of how saved we are now. Okay? Is everybody with me? Now let's go back to chapter 2. Now let's look at verse 7. Now, we got to read 6 and 7 together. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, this is why, or this is verse 7 is because of verse 6.
Yeah.
All right? That we're set together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All right? That in the ages to come, eternity, he will show his grace and kindness toward us so that all may see. So that when all of heaven is done come together and all the storms have done blown yourself out and the earth has done burnt off and all the hell has been cast into the lake of fire and all the angels stand and fold their wonderful wings,
yeah.
Then the body of Christ comes together, if you would. The body of Christ and Christ the head. And sing the redeemed song of heaven. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Huh? That's that exalted place that Christ has given us. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. Only then will it be shown how lost we was and how saved we are, that the riches of his grace will be magnified all over heaven. Huh? When the ones that we never thought would make it because they were so wicked stand clothed in white because of the righteous of the saints, huh? And the drunkards and the dope heads and the harlots and the murderers and the thieves and the gamblers and the blasphemers, and that's all, that's what they were, stand redeemed children of God, and there the riches and the loving kindness and the mercy that God has shown shine forth all over heaven. Us.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's how saved we are, man. My, that's how saved we are. We okay? We see his glory and power in his creation in Genesis. You know, it's an amazing thing that he took nothing and made man. It's an amazing thing.
Yes.
That he took nothing and made man. That he took a handful of dirt and made man. Is that not wonderful?
Yes.
That he spoke the animals into existence. He said, I want a rose, and there was a rose. And I want a rhododendron, there's a rhododendron. And he spoke it. Is that not how he done? He said, I would like to have a giraffe, and I'll tell Adam what to call him later. And there was a giraffe. And that's what it was. All the animals were made. And then God gave Adam the wisdom to name them all. And if you read the scripture, that's what happened. God brought the animals and Adam gave them all names. I mean, where would Adam learn the hippopotamus?
Really?
Have you ever thought of it? Where would he learn orangutan?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Why would he even say that? Huh? Have you ever thought of that? Here come a giraffe, 20-foot long neck. Said, that looks like a giraffe. God said, that's what I made. That's what I made. Call it that. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Here come a rabbit hopping. I think that'll just be a bunny, a rabbit. Because God says, Adam, call that a rabbit. And Adam calls it a rabbit.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, ain't that glory? Ain't the creation of glory glorious?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever looked at it like this individually, the things? It's so wonderful. Now, to me, and that was all out of nothing.
Right.
Right? But that ain't got nothing on his grace and power.
Right. Yeah.
Because he took us and made a bride.
Right.
He takes us and makes the body that he dwells in. Now, I can understand him taking nothing and making all this. But he takes us that ain't worth shooting and makes us into a wonderful bride, pure and fair, for all eternity. That's that glory verse 7 is talking about. Are we okay with that? Huh? Because we're his second creation. The first creation was magnificent. But we are his second creation. For we are, you know what the Bible says? We are created in Christ Jesus. We're his second creation. And it's more marvelous. Did not the Bible teach that the first man, Adam, brought sin, the second man, Adam, brought salvation? By the disobedience of one, the first man, Adam, many were made lost, if you would. Just say it like that. And by the obedience of the second man, Adam, by the obedience of one, many were made saved.
Yes.
And that's what the scripture teaches. Are you following me tonight?
Yep.
So the second creation is so much better than the first creation.
Yes.
Huh? And you say, yeah, but it was a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake. The first creation fallen wasn't a mistake. Because God had already planned on the second creation.
Yeah, come on.
Because before the foundation of the world was laid, the Lamb was slain. So it's all in a magnificent plan of God that he would make the second creation so much greater.
Amen.
Was not the temple that was made magnificent in its day? Did it not say that the temple to be is more magnificent than the temple that was?
Yes.
The second creation is better than the first creation.
Yes.
And look what he's made. Look at us tonight. What he's made a bride out of. Heavenly sunlight that you can't even think and comprehend how great it is. Are y'all okay with that?
Yes.
See, all of heaven will see Christ and his wounds, not his scars. Ain't no scars. He'll see his wounds. And when all of heaven sees these wounds, look where all the glory's going to roll to. It ain't going to roll to the drunkard that got saved. The glory's going to roll to the one that saved the drunkard and changed the drunkard when they see the wounds in his hand. Huh? Ain't that most wonderful? You say, well, did he not score over? Well, how will they look upon him who they've pierced during the tribulation period when he comes? They'll look upon him who they pierced. They'll see the wounds in his hand. They'll see the wounds in his side. That's what the scripture, read it all, man, read it all, believe it all. It's in there. Are we okay?
Yeah,
all right, I'm trying to get out of verse 7. But it's hard. Huh? See, it's this amazing grace that he bestowed on us. Let's look over 2 Thessalonians. Are we okay tonight?
Yeah.
I love this. I don't know about y'all. I hope y'all do, man. I love Ephesians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, look what it says, may be what? Where?
In you.
And then look at the next phrase. And ye where? It's in Christ. You see how important the words are? Talk to me. You just see how important the wording is. That's why you can't monkey around with any of the words.
Amen.
Huh? You can't do it. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. That Christ may be glorified in me and that I may be glorified in him in Christ. According to the what? The grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Ain't that wonderful? Are we okay? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church. How? By Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Huh? It's important. Revelation chapter 5. Are we still okay? Revelation chapter 5. Let's start at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's Christ, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hath redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and every and tongue and people and nation, and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can I say that again? And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a pile of people. That's a pile of them. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. Now this is the angels. This ain't us. This is the angels. Voice of many angels round about the throne. And the beast and the elders. Now this is all of them together. The angels and the beast and the angels. There's a whole outfit. It's going to be a busy place up there. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. What would thousands of thousands be? How many would thousands of thousands be, Brother Rick? Dennis, you're a mathematician. You're a math scholar. How many? If it's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a pile of zeros there. And look what they're saying. Look at verse 12. Stand with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I'm just trying to get you, we're going to get involved in all that glory. It's going to be a big day. Why you laugh, huh? That's how saved we are.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Think about that.
Amen.
Now, let's look at our new paper. We okay? There's a lot in them seven verses, is all I can tell you. A lot in there. Let's look at verse 8. We okay? 8, 9, 10 really go together. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, this is a doctrinal fact here. All right? Verse 8, 9, 10, it's all doctrinal, but this is a doctrinal fact. All right? This is a recap on how we got from being lost to saved. All right? We've been looking about how lost we were. Seeing we had no hope, seeing we were dead in trespasses and sins, seeing we were alienated from God and strangers, it's what we were. So God does what no one else could do. He offered grace.
Yeah.
Ain't that simple? For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now that's the way it's always been. It's always been by grace through faith. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
It's always been that way. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? There was a law, an unwritten law, but it was evidenced in what happened that salvation had to come first of all by what God provided. Second of all, it had to be by shed blood.
Yeah.
Correct? Huh?
Yeah.
Had to be by blood, had to be provided by God, and it had to be an innocent substitute.
Yeah.
That's a law that started in Genesis that went all the way through the Bible.
Yeah.
That it had to be provided by God, had to be innocent in a substitute for us in our place, and it had to be by the shedding of blood. All right? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteous of God in him. In Abraham and Isaac and the ram was slain in the stead of his son. And everything shows a substitute. The lambs that were slain in Egypt for the children of Israel. And then it's a substitute provided by God because God is the one that gives the life to the animals. And it had to be by the shedding of blood. And then it's a substitute provided by God. Same way with Noah, same way with Adam, everywhere, all the way down through till we get to Christ. And then Christ became the last sacrifice as a supplied by God. He said, I come from the Father. You see me, you've seen the Father. All right? He was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was our innocent substitute because he became sin for us. And they shed his blood on Calvary. So that fulfilled the law that was unwritten but very well stated in Genesis with Adam and Eve all the way through to Calvary and him being the last one. That's always been by grace through faith. Now you say, well, where did grace through faith come? Well, grace, it was given to Adam and Eve. They did not deserve it. Noah found grace. He didn't earn grace, but he found grace. Okay? Everything, it was given. It was always been a free gift by God, been grace. Well, where did the faith come in? Well, now, I don't know. Again, we see Adam and Eve. Now, I don't know about you. I don't believe that God throwed them down and put the coats on them. They'd already made their own coats. They had to willingly trade their homemade aprons for a coat.
Yeah.
You understand that? He didn't throw them down and put it on them. They had already had something to cover them of their own making. They had to freely give that up by believing what God had provided was going to do.
Yes.
Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Talk to me.
Yes.
They had to willingly take off the old, y'all say, take off that old coat and put on the new one. But they done it by faith. So it's been by grace through faith from Adam all the way through. Everybody understand that? It's never changed. It's never changed. Are we okay? Y'all ever looked at that simple? It's that simple. Talk to me. Now, let's look here at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, let's look at verse 8. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Grace is salvation. Salvation is rooted in God's unmerited favor, not human achievement. You don't arrive. You don't achieve it. You don't earn it. It's God's unmerited favor. All right? Now, best one of the best verses for explaining what grace is it should be 2 Corinthians, I think. I got it first wrote down. No. 2 Corinthians, put you another one beside that, another I beside Corinthians there. I apologize for that typographical error. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's a good verse for explaining what grace is. Be okay? So, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now let's look at faith. Faith is the channel, back to Ephesians. Faith is the channel through which salvation is received. You receive as many as received him, to give him, give him power to become the sons of God. We receive Christ. We receive salvation is given to us. We don't give him nothing. We don't barter. We don't barter. We don't trade. Now, we've said it like that, and we've been wrong, really, when we said, well, I'll trade my sin. Actually, we don't trade nothing. We're dead. We don't trade nothing. He gives us salvation. Are we okay? See, look at Romans. The channel where salvation is received. Romans 3. We okay? Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through what? In his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Everybody understand that? Everybody all right with that? So, by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. Salvation is not produced by man's willpower, or merit, or good deeds for others. All right? Look at John chapter 1. Brother Rick hammered this heavy on us. All right? John chapter 1, look at verse 13. Can we read verse 11, 12, and 13 together? It would make more sense to us. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it's not of yourselves. You don't do it. It's the work of God that saves us. Everybody understand that? Now, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift of God. It's a divine free gift. Well, what is the gift? Is it the grace? No. Now, we used to say that, you know. Now, God gives us grace? No. No, that ain't what that gift is. That gift is not grace. Is it the faith? No. No, it's not the faith neither. What is it? The gift is salvation. The gift he gives is salvation. And it's by grace through faith. It's by merited favor through the channel of faith. But the gift that he gives is salvation.
Yes.
Everybody understand that?
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Huh? Think about that. Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but what? What is the gift of God? It's salvation. Is that what it is? So the gift ain't grace, and the gift ain't faith. The gift's the eternal life. The gift is salvation. And it's by grace through the channel of faith. Ain't that wonderful? Huh? Think about it. I mean, that's better than you've ever thought it. Huh? Are we okay? Now we get verse 9. Not of works. No amount of good works can earn salvation. Yeah. Salvation takes a man's boasting away. 2 Timothy. I gotta quit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us? Anybody here saved?
Yes.
Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. You can't get no plainer than that. Not according to our, but according to his own purpose and what?
Grace.
And grace, which was given us where?
In
Christ Jesus. Before the world began. Father, thank you for a sure word. In Jesus' name, amen.